Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
All right, boys and girls, it is time to start. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. This is the Balance / Gary Snyder Show. So good that you could be with us today. I say that every day because I mean it every day. Jimmy the intern is going to be coming in the show today from Lansing, Michigan. I'm going to talk about the opening day, the Big Ten. Opening day of the Big Ten. And IU's in it. And for a change, guys, IU can actually probably get you the tournament and have a fantastic season. We know they're off to a great start, but what can they do in the Big Ten? Well, we're going to find out. IU plays Michigan State tonight. Jimmy the intern's down there. One of the things I want to let you know coming up Saturday, 9 a.m., is the Balance year-end special. And that's right, we're going to take a look at the last year's top stories in sports. And we're also going to take a look at the bowl games that are coming up. Can't have New Year's without a bowl game. We're going to be queuing up with 1400 WBAT and Marianne here in just a few moments to talk. Well, we're going to talk some college football, of course, and we're going to talk some IU basketball. Of course, write down this these digits, 917-889-8516. My name's Saul Marquis. I'm El Presidente. I am your host for the next 2 hours, and I'm so glad that you are on board with us today. And spread the word and the wealth to all of your friends, neighbors, relatives, enemies. The Balance / Gary Snyder Show is on the air. We'll be right back. Check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Yo.
Hello, Shorty. What are you doing?
Nothing. sitting here watching the game, smoking some bud.
Are you all alone?
What's up?
What's up? Who's that?
Yo, pick up the phone. What's up?
What's up?
Yo, Duke, pick up the phone.
Yo.
What's up?
What you doing, son?
Nothing. Just chilling. Chilling.
True, true.
Right, you're on the Balance Radio Network, streaming across the United States. I am El Presidente, your host. Glad that you can join us today. My name's Tom Marquis, getting ready to team up with 1400 WBAT, coming up right up here at the top of the hour. We're going to be talking with Jay Graves of jaygravesreport.com. We're talking a little bit about Gunnar Pugh heading to LSU. Should be a great conversation. Certainly is a great topic. We want to know what's going on with that. Also, coming up here in about 30 minutes, Jimmy the Intern, our official sports intern of the Balanced Gary Snyder Show, gives us a preview of the IU Big Ten opener at Michigan State. That's right, from Michigan State. See what's going on with the Spartans. Can IU hold up to the Big Ten? We're going to find out right here on the Balanced Radio Network. Also, coming up on Saturday, our year-end special. We do it every year. We're going to talk about some bowl games, and we're going to talk about the top sports stories of 2011. What was your top sports story? Let us know. Hey, guys, write down these digits, 917-889-8516. Get you a part of the show. So glad you're on board. We'll be right back.
Here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT, before we get to our next guest, I need to remind you, this is a Van Halen Bumper Music Wednesday, and our poll question of the day on GarySnyderShow.com, who's the better frontman for Van Halen? Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth, vote now, a bunch of you have, it's going pretty good. All right, when I need a new carpet for my living room, I did what everybody else did. You know you've done it, too. I went and checked out the big home improvement box stores. When I did this, I found something was missing. You know what I'm talking about here, service. Then a friend recommended Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington. Lehman Floor Covering has all the top brands of carpeting at the best prices. Mohawk, Stainmaster, Baylow, Shaw, and the list goes on and on. But Lehman Floor Covering also had that special something that was missing from all those big home improvement box stores. Great customer service, attention to detail, and that personal touch. So if you're looking for new carpet, hardwood floors, tile, laminate, vinyl, heck, they even specialize in new baths and kitchens and carry H&K countertops, made right here in Marion. Layman Floor Covering will have what you need when you need it with the customer service you deserve. Layman Floor Covering is your one-stop shop from ceiling to floor, and you know what? They wouldn't have been in business for over 50 years if they weren't doing it exactly right. So give Todd a call, 260-356-7226. Again, 260-356-7226 for a free estimate. You can visit them on the web at laymanfloorcovering.com. Or just head into their newly expanded store at 1940 Aetna Avenue up the road in Huntington. If you can't remember that, remember Gary Snyder Show. Or you can also vote on who you think the best frontman for Van Halen is. We're also doing our political winners and losers of the year nominations. And don't forget, Libertarian presidential candidate tomorrow, Gary Johnson. And as always, from now to the end, we are joined by co-host Tom Marquis. Tom, say hi.
Howdy, good afternoon, and welcome to the Balanced Radio Network. We are streaming across the United States, and Gary, you are our most honored guest.
I am, aren't I?
You are.
Leading the nominations for political winner of the year, though.
That's right. That's why you are the Time Person of the Year. That's why you're on the cover of Time Magazine.
Hey, we are more than a pretty face here. We talk politics. We also talk sports and pop culture. So on the line with us now, Jay Graves, here to talk a little bit, probably more than a little bit, about Gunnar Kiel choosing LSU over Indiana. Boo-hoo. Jay, welcome to the show.
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for having me.
Hey, Jay, real quick, before we go any further, and I've learned it's further, not farther, further, why don't you tell people about yourself, your website, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, well, this is Jay Graves from the jgravesreport.com. It's where sports and real life collide. What I do with the sports blog, with the Jay Graves Report, I just take all the news that's out there and relate everything to real life. So many people look at athletes and watch TV, but they never understand all the real life that goes into playing sports or all the decisions that kids have to make or athletes have to make. So what I try to do is take the news and then talk about the real life aspect of what's going on in sports. And so for the last probably 4 or 5 months, I've been heavily covering this Gunnar Kiel situation and just talking about how it just didn't make sense initially when he committed to Indiana, even though I'm an IU alum, you know, and everybody was all over me, you know, saying that it was blasphemous for me to even actually write the articles and say it didn't make sense for the number one recruit in the country to go to Indiana. But in reality, it didn't.
Well, Jay, I can tell you, I kind of had my doubts, too, especially with Gunnar's brother playing at IU and probably feeding some stuff back to him that maybe wasn't the best about Kevin Wilson. And then, of course, I was up at Notre Dame Stadium in the press box when he was there visiting Notre Dame, and I knew he was not going to stay at IU. When the last time that I saw him, he was up on the observation deck of the Notre Dame press box with his Notre Dame gear on, hat turned backward, posing as Touchdown Jesus.
I mean, you knew it. What I always tell people is you got to take your heart out of it. You really have to look at it and say, if this were my kid and he were the number one recruit in the country, would I advise him to go to play at one of the worst programs in America? Just doesn't make sense. Because what you have to do, when you're that good, you want your kid or you want to play around kids that are just as good. Because every day at practice, if he's playing at LSU or Alabama or Oklahoma or any of these big-time programs, if at practice he's going to be competing against guys that were top 5, 10, 15, 20 in their respective positions every day. And not only is he going to play in the SEC at this point, he's going to be playing against competition where guys are future NFL players. You know, most of these defenses that he's going to run up against now in the SEC, most of these guys are going to the NFL. It's only going to make him a better player playing against those type of players. And if he's at IU, he's the best player on the field at practice every day. So he's not going to get better playing against competition that's not pushing him. There's not going to be a guy sitting behind him in the second or third team spot at IU as a quarterback that's going to push him every day. But if he goes to, you know, these big-time programs, you're going to have a guy that was an All-American in high school playing behind him or playing in front of him. Now he's got to come to work. He's got to put his hard hat on every day and come to work. So it just makes sense, and I'm happy for him. I'm glad to see that someone sat down and had some really good conversations with him and helped him to make a decision. Now he gets to play for potentially the defending national champion next year.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, Jay, it's good to have you on board. And you know, I'm obviously disappointed as an IU fan and an IU alum that Gutter didn't choose Indiana. I understand the decision. What I don't understand, and this, I guess, is the biggest looming question, a guy like Gunnar Kill can pick anywhere that he wants to go in the United States. Obviously, he did just that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, he was being recruited and being wooed by many, many colleges. And I'm sure that LSU came a-knocking a long time before IU did, and LSU
mm-hmm.
came a-knocking a long time before Notre Dame did. My question is, why commit to IU in the first place?
Well, you know what? I can tell you this. Being he lives in Columbus, which is 45 minutes away, there's a lot of pressure in the local area for this kid to stay at home. His brother's already there. You know, it's one of those where he wants to make the hometown folks proud of him. And so he, as a kid, because he's only, you know, 17, 18 years old, a lot of times a kid will just jump out to him and make that decision because he wants to make everybody happy. But then after he made that commitment, he really sat down and started thinking about it. Like, wait a minute, you know, this I'm going to play at Indiana. Indiana hadn't won a Big Ten championship since 1967.
Well, let me interrupt real quick, Jay. What part do you think his brother had played in it and saying, hey, Coach Kevin Wilson is just friggin' nuts?
But, you know, I don't know, because you got to remember, Kevin Wilson has had success at other programs. Obviously, he was at Oklahoma, and they did well. He was at Northwestern. He had some success. So he's going to be a guy that's going to be, in the kid's mind, freaking nuts, simply because he's going to be very demanding, and he comes in with a different culture than they've had at IU in a while. I think the best thing that ever happened to IU in recent memory is when Hep was there. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, he passed away. But this guy's coming in with a lot of enthusiasm, with a lot of demands, and not everybody's going to like it. So a lot of the kids that are at IU right now, they probably don't like the guy because he's very demanding. Well, he's demanding because he wants to win. And so, you know, I think that, you know, he may have gotten some of that from his brother, but I think more importantly, he probably sat down and said, hey, you know, if this guy, let's be honest, this guy's probably within 3 years, if he continues to develop, is going to be in the NFL in 3 years. So in that 3 years, do I go to IU, kind of waste around, or do I go somewhere where I can possibly play for a national championship, win an SEC championship, play on national primetime television every week? That makes a big difference when you're 18 years old.
Hey, Jay, can you hold on through a quick break?
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
You're listening to the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We're streaming across the United States here on Blog Talk Radio and all of our affiliate radios stations across the United States. Some of you might be listening to us on what's called a tape delay, but we're glad that you're with us as well. Some of you listen to us in the overnight or the next day tomorrow, as in WROM up in Detroit. So glad that you guys are with us as well. Coming up here at the end of the year on the Balance Radio Network, the Balance will have its annual end-of-the-year show where we're going to be talking about the top sports stories in 2011, and of course, all the bowl talk. We got more bowls to talk about, maybe even the toilet bowl. Who's going to be in the toilet bowl this year? You know, it was good to see Purdue out there at the Little Caesars Bowl and making some good representation and pulling off a win out there yesterday. So we're going to look at a lot of the bowl games and what's going on. Obviously, the key ones that are going on New Year's Day, and obviously the championship bowl game. Did they get it right this year? And, you know, we're talking here, and when we get back from the break, we'll continue our conversation when we join back up with the Gary Snyder Show, 1400 WBAT and Marion. We're talking to Jay Graves, jaygravesreport.com, talking about Gutter Keel heading to LSU. And, you know, he makes a good point. Maybe he did make a good decision there. And obviously there's some things that weighed on his mind on whether or not he was going to go to IU, Notre Dame, or Arkansas. Obviously, there were other schools that were looking at him, but he ultimately chose to play at LSU, and we'll continue that conversation with Jay just as soon as we get back. If you have any thoughts on Gutter Keel, you can certainly give us a call, 917-889-8516. Guys, today is the last hump day of the year. And I'm so glad you're spending it here with us right here on the Ballads Radio Network. We'll be right back right here, we'll have more Jay Graves. And, man, he's got some energy. I want one of those Red Bulls he's got.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gballance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
I'd have this board down by now. All right, it is a Van Halen Bumper Music Wednesday. Of course, you can go to GarySnyderShow.com, vote on who your favorite frontman for Van Halen is, was. Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth, as they get set to hit the trail. Starting in 2012 with David Lee Roth, also taking your political winners and loser nominations right there on the Gary Snyder Show. Plus, coming up here in just a little bit, Jimmy Cavanaugh makes his the official IU Sports intern of the Gary Snyder Show, taking the Gary Snyder Show credential up to East Lansing, and will be giving us a call from the Michigan State game. Hopefully he'll be tweeting what he will be eating tonight. Boy, how'd you like that? All right, also with us right now, Tom Marquis of the Balance Radio Network. Tom, are you there?
I am here, and it is so good to have you along, Gary.
Isn't it, though? And also, we're joined by Jay Graves. Jay, We're talking, welcome to the show, and glad you could hold on through the break, and my screw up there.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, Jay, so you wrote an article on your blog today. Why don't you go through it a little bit and tell us how you came to this decision that Gunnar Keel is better off at LSU?
Well, you know what? The name of the article is called Calling Audibles, obviously. And it was just a playing on words of, you know, this kid calling the play to go to IU initially and then, you know, pulling out and decommitting and then obviously now going to LSU. I just think it's a huge opportunity for a kid to be able to go and play at a big-time program like that. You know, in the article I made the comment, I said, what's the sense in becoming the number one recruit in the country if you're not going to take advantage of the opportunity? It's almost like a kid going out, making $1 million and not wanting to leave the ghetto. You know, what's the point in becoming a VIP if you're still going to ride coach? You know, this kid is so-called the best player in America. Now, we don't know if he's actually the best quarterback in the country because obviously he's playing down in Columbus. He's playing against, you know, is he playing against top, you know, defensive backs in that conference that'll play at the same level of these guys that he's going to run into now? But we'll see. But my thought is, take advantage of the opportunity. If you're the number one recruit in the country at that position, why not go play for the number one team in America and play on a team that has some winning tradition, that you're going to be pushed, that you're going to have to come to work every day and work extremely hard? If he'd have gone to IU, he wouldn't have to work as hard to still be the starter at IU, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
Well, here's my thoughts, and I can chime in here real quickly. I could be totally way off base on this. I'm glad LSU got him, and I'll tell you why. One, I think he comes across to me as a spoiled little brat. I think that the fact that really what it amounts to is that he didn't want to play for Kevin Wilson. He didn't like the way Kevin Wilson was running his program down there, and he's not the only one. And we talked to Jimmy the intern many times about Kevin Wilson and how things are going. And I think that Kevin Wilson made Gunnar Keel's dad mad. I think that Gunnar feels like that, and the same thing with Notre Dame. I think when he had this delay of what college he was going to choose and how he was going to choose it, I think that really said a lot to me because, you know, like I said, he comes across spoiled, and like I said, I could be way off base. I don't know the kid. I've never met the kid. I've never interviewed the kid. I'm just going by what I think and what I see. But I see Kyle as a kid who would have trouble digging deep inside himself to get out of tough situations. And I think Kevin Wilson will make him be a better player than LSU. And I think Notre Dame definitely would have made him the best player. But they got two good quarterbacks on the roster right now. I don't think Gunnar Keel would have been a good fit there anyway. So LSU can continue with their arrogance. And what a better place for a spoiled brat to go to than LSU. That's just my thoughts.
Well, you know, I will say this. We'll find out if he is as good as advertised when he shows up, because if he's not, then he may stay there 2 years and transfer out and come, you know, go somewhere else. We've seen that before. You know, like the kid, there was a kid that played Brett Nichols that went to Oklahoma a few years ago, and he was one of the most highly touted quarterbacks in the country. Well, he ended up sitting on the bench for a couple of years, and now he's back at Michigan State playing wide receiver. We've seen it, you know, on numerous occasions. But I just think that, hey, if you're going to be the best, go play with the best until you're proven that you aren't the best.
Well, Jay, let me ask you this. We see this time after time where a kid commits to a school and then finds out maybe after a couple of years that maybe the coach isn't the right fit or the offense or the defense. Do you think a lot of these recruits get caught up in the moment and get caught up in the program and make their choices like that? Or do you think maybe they don't take the time to interview the coach, find out what the coach is like? That creates a personality conflict, and then a lot of these star athletes end up checking out.
Well, you know what? There's a combination of things. And on the recruiting trail, it's not like a kid can find out exactly what's going on at the program unless the kid is at the program on a daily basis. When you know, you don't find out a whole lot just by talking to a guy over the phone, making an official visit, et cetera. But, you know, sometimes a kid find out that, hey, I've gotten in way over my head. You remember a few years ago when USC signed 6 out of the top 7 running backs in America in one class. And that's when they had Emmanuel Moody and all those guys, and Moody ended up transferring to Florida because it was the bottleneck at the top. And so kids find out, hey, you know, I'm not as good as I thought I was. And so they end up transferring, or they're just too many people. I remember Tashard Choice, that plays for the Dallas Cowboys, was at Oklahoma when Adrian Peterson was there. Well, Adrian Peterson came in with all the fanfare, and there was no room for Tashard Choice, so he transferred to Georgia Tech. Those things happen. And but I just think that, you know, the cream always rises to the top. That's what they always tell you. And so when you go to these programs and you're the man, then you stick around. If you're not getting any playing time, then you got to go somewhere else to get the PT.
Hey, Jay, we have to take a break, and we want to thank you for joining us today. We're going to talk some IU basketball next. You want to stay on with us?
Oh, yeah, that'd be great, man.
All right, quick break. When we come back, Jimmy Cavanaugh, the official IU sports intern for the Gary Snyder Show, Jay Graves, as we talk IU basketball as they get set to open the Big Ten opener tonight up at East, can't even talk, up at East Lansing. You're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
And you're listening to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Marquezel Presidente. I am your host. So glad that you are here having a great conversation with Jay Graves at jaygravesreport.com. Make sure that you can check him out. And coming up next, also, Jimmy the Intern, a.k.a. Jimmy Cavanaugh. You know him as Jimmy the Intern here on the show. He has just swiped those Gary Snyder press credentials away from Gary and said, I'm headed up in my ghetto cruiser up to East Lansing, and I am going to cover the Big Ten opener between Michigan State and Indiana University. I'm going to tell you one thing. The Hoosiers are on the trail this year. Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. And I'm not just talking about UK. But how about that game? Of course, they had a big win against Howard. I think that was just a deal sealer. So you know what? I'm excited. I'm pumped up to see the Big Ten basketball underway. You know, we were just talking about some IU football. Gunner Kidd. At least for Kevin Wilson's sake, I hope so. If he can't turn things around next year, yeah, IU's going to be looking for another coach. At least that's my thoughts. Hey, guys, we're going to be talking some IU football. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're going to be talking some IU basketball. Jimmy the intern, who's getting ready. It's going to be one of those days, huh? I can see it. Well, at least it's the last Wednesday, the last hump day of the year. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk some IU basketball. Big Ten basketball opens up tonight with IU and Michigan State, and our Jimmy the Intern is standing by at East Lansing to give you the report. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry. Okay. How do you is Frank Vogel, head coach of the Indiana Pacers, and you're listening to The Balance.
In the fine print, they tell me what's wrong and what's right. And it comes in black and it comes in white, and I'm frightened by those who don't see it. When nothing is owed, deserved, or expected, and your life doesn't change by the man that's elected. If you're loved by someone, you're never rejected. Decide what to be and go be it. There was a dream.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Welcome back. Computer problems, so no Van Halen. That time. All right, it is a Van Halen bumper music Wednesday, although you couldn't tell it then. We're joined, of course, as always at this time, to the end, by Tom Marquis and the Balance Radio Network. Tom, say hi.
Howdy, it's good to be here, and thanks for continuing on with the Balance Radio Network across the nation.
We're also joined, he's going to carry over to this segment, too, as we talk some IU basketball, Jay Graves. Jay, say hi.
Hello, how's everybody?
And also, he's the man of the minute. He's, I don't know, Jimmy, which car did you drive? Because I was going to say the cruiser, but how did you get up to East Lansing?
I am currently piloting the battleship up to East Lansing, coaxing every mile to the gallon that I can get out of this monstrosity. And I'm actually just about to make the turn off of the highway onto Lansing Road, exit 70 in Michigan.
And for those of for our listeners who maybe don't know what you're driving, please explain.
It is my 89 Mercury Grand Marquis with a leather interior. It's very comfortable. I decided to trade the economization of the Honda Fit for the luxury of the Grand Marquis at the expense of about 16 miles to the gallon.
Now, be honest here. How much have you spent in gas? Have you spent your beer money for your first week back in school already?
I'm not totally sure off the top of my head what I've spent in gas, but I'll tell you this. I filled it up right before getting on the highway. It's just below the half mark, and you know this could end up being a pretty it could end up being a pretty expensive trip gas wise.
You must really love IU basketball.
It's definitely worth it for the Indiana basketball, though. I'm just as excited as you guys to get this season on the road and see what this Hoosier squad can do.
All right. Jimmy Cavanaugh is the official IU sports intern for the Gary Snyder Show. He has taken the IU basketball credential, headed up to East Lansing, where he will cover the opener tonight between IU and Michigan State. Now, Jimmy, I am going to warn you right now, because we have kind of a tradition going here. When you use the Gary Snyder Show credentials, you take a picture of the press buffet and send it out. I know in football, when you go up there, you have to order hot dogs ahead of time. That's your only choice. And then they make you pay for them. So I'm just giving you a heads up about tonight.
Maybe I'll just go on strike. I'll go on a hunger strike a la Gandhi. Draw the attention of the nation to my plight and break down the Berlin Wall of unfairness that they've crafted in that Michigan State press box. I'm on a one-man crusade, Gary. I'm on a mission from God.
You know, they are the cheapest university out there. They really are. But besides that, talk a little bit about IU Michigan State tonight.
Okay, well, I'll say this much. Going into this game, there's something that Michigan State can bring to the table that none of IU's opponents up to this point have been able to bring, and that's just size. Kentucky was a decently big team, but not the kind of skilled size, immovable size that Michigan State's going to have. Derek Nix, the 280-pound sophomore, mans the middle. Draymond Green, 6'9", 230, 240, around there. One of the more skilled big men in the Big Ten, averaging very close to a double-double, 15 points, 9 rebounds. And then Adrian Payne is a load as well. So Cody Zeller and Christian Watford are going to have their hands full. It's going to be difficult for them to take on the kind of size that Michigan State has.
Tom?
Well, I can tell you one thing. I don't think there's anybody on the planet that is more pumped up than me to get this Big Ten season underway. Now, obviously, a lot of people are concerned that, well, IU hasn't played anybody. Well, they have played somebody, a team called University of Kentucky. Maybe you've heard of them. They were number one, and they beat them. Okay, definitely out the buzzer. Every team out there has room for improvement. So what I guess I need to know from you, Jimmy, is obviously Cody is a big factor, but the whole team has to play IU basketball. They cannot start the Big Ten off with a loss. I think even if it doesn't mean anything in the big picture, it's a huge shot in the gut if Michigan State beats them, if the Spartans beat the Hoosiers on opening night of the Big Ten. How can IU make sure that does not happen tonight?
Well, it's not going to be any easier than we thought it was going to be right out of the gate. This is going to be a tough game from the get-go, and it's that much more difficult because all signs indicate that Will Sheehy will not be playing. Will Sheehy will not be playing tonight. Derek Elston looks to play, but he's likely to be at less than 100%. This will be his first game with that new mask, dealing with the broken nose he sustained in practice after the Howard game. And Vernell Jones looks like he might be a game-time decision. We're not sure whether he's going to play or not. And if he doesn't, Remy Abel, the freshman, will likely be making his first career start in the place of Vernell Jones. So while I agree with you that it is definitely preferable for Indiana to start off on a strong foot, on the right foot, it's going to be that much more difficult because of the guys that they're going to be missing and the guys that they're going to be employing at less than full strength. They're going to have their hands full.
How about Jay? You got a question for Jimmy?
Well, you know what? I don't. I think that my perspective is I'm excited that they're 12-0 at this point, but the rubber really hits the road these next three ball games, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Michigan. I would just be happy if we can get two out of three. And that will keep everybody excited. The moment it doesn't, even if they lose today tonight on the road. Remember, we played nine home games. 9 out of 12 of the ball games have been at home, so we've had a huge advantage with the home crowd. So going into hostile territory tonight, even if we win, I would like to see us win. But if we just have to play a solid ball game. Like I say, with the injuries out there, if we come out of there with a loss. It can't be a blowout. It's got to be a tight game, and I think that we've got the players to play a tight ball game and possibly stick around to the last 4 or 5 minutes of it and win.
Well, I'm not going to lie to you, man. I would be thrilled with a 2-1 finish out of these first three games because when I look at Ohio State with Jared Sullinger in there, if he's back and indeed healthy on New Year's Eve without the students there and with Sheehy less than 100%, all the injuries they're dealing with, I'm penciling that in as a loss, even more so than Kentucky. I don't think IU matches up well against Ohio State at all. Michigan should be a game that they win, but Michigan State here tonight, with the injuries that IU has and as hot as Michigan State is, I think it's entirely conceivable that they start out 1-2 or even 0-3. So tonight will go a long way. And tonight's one of those three games, so it will go a long way in determining how strong they start out.
Now, I tell you what, if we can win this ball game tonight, that sets up the Ohio State game as a huge ball game in the sense that, because you're saying the students won't be there, they'll fill the joint up. If they win this ball game and go into that ball game 13-0 against Ohio State, then the home momentum comes right back to Indiana, and we could possibly win that game. But if you come out of here with a loss, then that kind of takes some air out of the balloon for the Ohio State game. What are your thoughts?
If they manage to pull this game off and go into Ohio State undefeated, it is going to be a pretty insane atmosphere. My understanding is that that game's already sold out, and that game's been sold out for a couple of weeks. And if they go in undefeated and play against that Ohio State team with Sellinger, like I said, I don't like how they match up, but we saw them outplay their station against Kentucky. I don't think they were normally good enough to win that game. And the way they shot, at least early on, managing to stay with Kentucky the way they did, I wouldn't be surprised if they can somehow find a way to capitalize on that atmosphere again and shock the world again.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Hey, Jimmy, let me ask you this, because you mentioned that the students aren't there tonight. And when we take a look at the game coming up on against Ohio State, the IU students will not be back. Is that going to hurt the Hoosiers in any way when you have the old gray crowd there instead of the student section?
Well, I think it's a different type of dynamic. The students are invaluable. From what I've been watching, the games and the energy, the students bring a different type of energy than the old folks. Without the students there, it's more of a professional atmosphere. But we've seen games where the students aren't there. When the alumni are pumped up enough, they can bring in their own brand of energy. And I think that's something that we can expect to see. I think that'll be a decent enough game for the alumni to come out and do, you know, what they really do. And if they're able to do that, if they're able to bring out the energy that I think they do have for a really good team, then I don't think it should really hinder IU's efforts there.
Go ahead,
now,
Tom.
Now, Jimmy, Indiana obviously is riding very high. I totally applaud and my hats off to Tom Crean, who took over the Hoosiers in 2008. That program was in a shambles, had nobody. He did bring about seven players in his first recruiting class, and what they have, like a 6-25 record. And now they're 12-0. So obviously they are growing. And I think Indiana has developed some really good three-point sharpshooting to their team. And they are hitting sick numbers, 45.9% of their three balls. That is unreal. And Jordan Hollis and Jones are the great backcourt. I tell you what, this is a great squad. IU is sound defensively, holding opposing teams to a great 38.4% shooting from the field. Other than Kentucky, their opponents have been pretty weak. Steele Zeller is a good shot blocker, and their veteran guards are on a solid D. So it makes sense to me when watching tape that Michigan State is going to do everything they can do to stop Zeller and to stop those three-point shots. So obviously, Indiana's going to have to get their bucket from the free throw line and on the inside. How do they do that?
Well, that's good. That's going to rely largely, I believe, on the play of Victor Oladipo and potentially on the play of Remy Abel, because Remy has done a really good job in his last couple of games filling in for the last game particularly, filling in for Vernell Jones, getting more playing time and capitalizing on that playing time. I had 9 points, 5 assists. In the last game, got to the free throw line 10 times, really put in a very strong showing. And if he can continue to play like that, that's going to be huge getting inside. Victor Oladipo is the other guy. Really spent a whole lot of time in the offseason developing his moves to the basket, developing his ability to get in the lane and get fouled, get to the free throw line. If he can do that, show what he's been working on, I think that's also going to be key in IU's development. If those guys have big games, I think they have a much better chance of winning.
Hey, guys, can you hold through a quick break?
Yep. Indeed.
All right, you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
And you're listening to the Balance Radio Network. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente and your host. So glad that you could join us. We got Jimmy the intern up there in East Lansing breaking down that new Indiana squad. Feels like a new team anyway. IU and Michigan State opening up the Big Ten. Also, Jay Graves is sticking around with us. A great article that he wrote calling audibles, on jgraves.com. Check him out, talking about Gunnar Kiel heading out to LSU, becoming a Tiger. I say kisses, goodbye, see ya. And when he doesn't work out, hope Kevin Wilson doesn't open up the door. I think Gunnar Kiel comes across as a spoiled little brat. Maybe he should have stayed with IU, and maybe my opinion wouldn't be the way that it is. But that's okay. We got all year long to talk about that and see what happens with Gunnar out there in LSU. And I think he feels like he has a good opportunity to start out there, and he very well might. They got a couple backup quarterbacks that are a little undeveloped, so we'll see. And so, you know, keep in mind, guys, also, this Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11, our normal bat time on our normal bat channel, we're going to be breaking down the top 2011 sports stories and how it affected you. Obviously, some of the big stories we're talking about, the death of Dan Weldon, Peyton Manning, a couple others. Obviously, there's a lot more, but we're going to try to narrow that list down to the top 10. Obviously, we're going to be talking some bowl games. So, you know, you do not want to miss the ballots coming up this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11, right here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back. When we get back, we'll team back up with Gary Snyder and 1400 WBAT, Jimmy the Intern, and Jay Graves.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. And it comes in black and it comes in white. When nothing is owed, deserved, or expected, and your life doesn't change by the man that's elected.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show, and dropping in with us. Before we get back to our guest, he co-hosted the show with me until he got a real job. Joel Harris, AI.
Nice to be back here for the closing, 10 minutes.
What'd you do? Break in? How'd you get in?
Kinda knocked on a window that somebody, some office person.
Oh, and let me remind you, this is a Van Halen Bumper Music Wednesday. Van Halen announcing a 2012 tour with David Lee Roth at the helm. Poll question of the week. Van Halen is touring in 2012 with David Lee Roth. Who's your favorite frontman for Van Halen? Right now, David Lee Roth is winning with over 50 votes cast.
I was going to say, that sounded like Van Halen.
I'm having computer issues here.
That's what they all say.
So we had to get rid of Van Halen here for the last couple of things. Which one do you prefer?
Oh, gosh, I wasn't a big Van Halen person. But
how can you not be a Van Halen person?
Jump was cool, but, you know.
I'm cutting your mic off.
I've been here how long and my mic's cut?
Yep. All right, also joining us, Tom Marquis. Tom, you are a David Lee Roth person, correct?
I am. I like David Lee Roth. I really do. Jump.
Jay, I did not ask you. Are you a David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar person?
Look, I knew you were coming my way. You're way over my head with Van Halen. I know the music, but I couldn't tell you who sings.
Let's go right to our own front man. He fronts a band himself, the official IU sports intern, Jimmy Cavanaugh. All right, Jimmy, this is very vital to the continuation of your internship here on the Gary Snyder Show. Who do you prefer, David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar?
Is Gary Sharoon an option?
Dude, you're cut off now. No more. No more credentials for you after that one.
Gary, there cannot be a question. David Lee Roth. Without exception, without even a discussion, is the man of Van Halen? Not even a question. Easy question for you right there.
Let me ask you, did you really drop a Gary Schoen reference on this show?
I did. I did indeed. I'm not proud of it, but, you know, it had to happen.
All right, we're going to start wrapping things up here. We'll start with you, Jimmy, since you have to go in and get the Puck Buffet and take a picture if they have one. Give us a score. Who wins tonight? What's the score?
I think IU falls just short, 72-70. Michigan State wins. Close game, but no cigar for Indiana.
Joel, do you have a score and who wins tonight?
I'm pulling for Purdue in this one.
That's a good thing you got a real job. All right, Tom, you're up.
Okay, here, thanks, John.
Well, actually, I like IU on this, and I agree with Jimmy. I think this is going to be a close game, but I'm going to flip it a little bit. But I think it's going to be a little bit more high-scoring game, and I think we're going to be somewhere around the 75 to 84 mark with IU picking off another win in the first game in the Big Ten.
You need to mute Jimmy's mic while he's trying to wrestle someone for his credential.
Makes for good radio anyway, huh? Smackdown on Gary Snyder's show.
He said it was here. All right, Jay, we're going to move to you. Looking at tonight's game, who wins, who loses, what's the score?
Hey, man, I'm going out on the limb. I'm going with IU 76-73.
The other big news of the day, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed, Dan Orlovsky's wife has triplets. He was not at practice today. Hopefully he won't be at the game Sunday. And we'll talk more on the Colts as time goes by, but he outdid Peyton. He had triplets. Peyton only had twins. So, all right, real quick, Jimmy, are you still there?
Oh, hold on. I got to turn his mic back on.
Are you still there, Jimmy?
I'm right here. I'm right here.
Did you get your credential? It seemed like you were almost having to wrestle someone for it.
Oh no, I was just trying to get the attention of a couple people. So I'm on my way to get it right now. Get the credential, then go back for some parking. It's gonna be an ordeal, but I think I can handle it.
Well, let's make sure we get some pictures of it and the buffet if they have one at Michigan State. We know how cheap they are.
My fingers are crossed, Gary. My fingers are crossed.
Where can people find you?
Follow me on Twitter, at JPCIV. Hopefully I'll have an article written for today. You can check that on iusportcom.com. Again, that's just that Twitter, at JPCIV.
All right, Tom, your turn.
You know, real quickly, I just think it would have been a funny joke for him to get all the way up there and him not have a credential. And we say, ha-ha. You know, that would be a good good joke to play on the intern, but we won't do that. Actually, you can find us on www.thebalanceonline.com. Of course, right here on the Balance Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, The Balance, T-Balance on Twitter, and The Balance on Facebook.
And, Tom, you're hooked up for Friday night with the Gary Snyder Show credential to check out the Pacers, right?
I will be there, sir.
Jay, your turn. Where can people find you? Your blog, website, all that good stuff.
You can find me at thejgraysreport.com and at jgraysreport on Twitter. Holla at your boy.
Hey, Jay, thanks a lot for joining us. Jimmy, good luck at tonight's game, especially getting some food. Tom, we'll talk later. Have a nice evening.
And welcome back to the Ballast Radio Network. What a lot of fun it was today, guys, to have you on during our live portion of our show. Obviously, IU, Michigan State kicks off the Big Ten season for IU. IU's going in 12-0. Man, oh man, oh man. And obviously, Michigan State 11-2. Well, of course, they lost to North Carolina and Duke. Man, if you got to lose to somebody, I guess that's who you got to lose to. Well, my name is Sal Marquis. That ends our live portion of the show. My, how time flies when you're having fun here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bad time, same bad channel. When your clock says 5 o'clock Eastern, depending on where you're at in the nation, if you're on the Eastern time zone, that's what time we come on. But and then work backwards from there if we're ahead of you in time. But... Yeah, I really felt like there was a need to explain that. I don't know why. I just got that conviction deep inside that I needed to explain to somebody what I meant when I said Eastern time zone. Well, guys, we'll be right back with hour number two, as heard on 1400 WBAT. I'll be joining in about 30 minutes. I was obviously part of hour number two on that show, but for a brief period of time. And then Jesse Ventura comes in about 30 minutes or so. You know, and what we're doing this week, all this week, is we're just kind of highlighting some of the best interviews that we've had. And so a part of that hour number two will be the interview with Jesse Ventura. And then, you know, he'll finish the show out. But my name's Tom Michaels. We'll see you guys tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Difficulties with hour number two of the day's show. So what we're going to do is we're just going to treat you to yesterday's show, hour number two of the Gary Snyder Show, right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Governor Jesse Ventura, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And I'll find strength in pain, and I will change my ways. I'll know my name as it's called again.
Welcome back to the Gary Snyder Show. I am the aforementioned Gary Snyder. And I want to thank our guest last hour, Dan Turcotte. Also coming up this hour, half or this part of the show, the bottom of this hour, we'll be joined by Tom Marquis. We'll talk a little bit about the Pacers as they get the opening night win last night at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, 91-79 over the Pistons. Plus, we are bringing you some of our best interviews of the year. And we'll sprinkle those in throughout the shows all week. So lucky you. All right. Now, my guess is, and it's just a guess, you probably took a lot of pictures Christmas morning, Christmas Eve. You're probably going to be taking a lot of pictures all week into the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Then you're going to take those pictures and you're going to download them onto your computer. And they will sit there, maybe getting peeked at a couple times a year, but they'll sit there with all the other pictures of Christmas past, along with all of your important documents, videos, and music. Now, let me ask you this. What would happen if you woke up one morning and all of those pictures were gone? All of your music, poof, gone. All of your documents, not there. Be probably pretty upset. That's why you need to back up your files. Because bad things happen to files and computers all the time. Hard drives crash. Laptops get lost or stolen. Viruses damage and destroy. And kids. That's all I'm going to say about that. If you have valuable files you can't replace, the only real way to protect them is to back them up, and Carbonite is the best way for you to do that. Carbonite takes the worry out of online backup by safely, securely, and automatically backing up your files to one of their state-of-the-art data centers where they become your personal Carbonite cloud. Now, if you're one of those non-tech geeks out there, like most of you are, what does that mean? Well, that means when you take your computer in to get it replaced or repaired, and you'd like all your files back, well, hey, you already have them backed up. So with a couple of...
All right. Don't you just love how we're doing things tonight here on the Balance Radio Network? Hey, we finally got hour number two of today's show going to work, so we're just going to go ahead and jump into that because we weren't too far into it. Here's hour number two of the Gary Snyder Show, as heard today on 1400 WBAT.
Huntington's favorite radio personality, Gary Snyder, is here on 1400 WBAT, Marion.
Well, here it comes. Everybody,
All right, we're back here on a Van Halen Bumper Music Wednesday on the Gary Snyder Show. Before we get to our guests, Barry Bunker Chevrolet, they are your hometown Chevy and used car dealer. Whether you're looking for that new Chevy or that perfect used vehicle, Barry Bunker Chevrolet has the car or truck you're looking for at the price no one will beat. And when I say no one, what do I really mean? Exactly, no one. With their amazing inventory and deals to move that inventory, Barry Bunker Chevrolet is your one stop for Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area for that new Chevy or used vehicle. Now let's talk service. Keeping your GM vehicle running at its best shouldn't be complicated. There shouldn't be any guesswork involved. Let Barry Bunker Chevrolet certified service technicians make maintenance simple for you. They are your one stop shop for all of your maintenance and service needs. So here's what you need to do. Give Barry a call. 866-466-1956. You can visit him at barrybunker.com or just head on over to their store at 1307 North Wabash Avenue right here in Marion and experience the Barry Bunker Chevrolet difference. And, of course, I should not have to say this, but I'm going to anyway. The name that is on the door is always on the showroom floor. Barry Bunker Chevrolet. All right, our next guest. And let me preface this. If you cannot remember that, you can always go to GarySnyderShow.com. Where? Right now, Van Halen's touring in 2012. Our poll question of the day, who's the best frontman for Van Halen? David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar. Go ahead and vote now. We have, it's been up for 2 hours, and we are quickly approaching about 60 votes on this. So you can cast your vote there. And we are also taking nominations for political, Gary Snyder Show, political winners and losers for the year. You can do that there. Now joining us, as always, and let me say, he is the only regular guest to show up this week. I guess he felt he had to make up for last week. That would be State Senator Jim Banks. Jim, welcome.
Hey, Gary. Great to be with you under better circumstances than last Wednesday when I spent the entire day in bed with the flu. Was happy to hear that you had my friend Micah Clark from American Family Association of Indiana on in my place. So,
yeah, and he didn't even bite.
He didn't. Go figure. No question that Sammy Hagar was the best frontman of Van Halen. I don't even understand why that would be a legitimate question to ask your listeners, but that would be my opinion, though I'd say it's more than opinion.
You know, I would agree with you because, you know, while David Lee Roth, that whole era was good, and that was my high school days and, you know, early 80s, mid 80s. You know, Sammy Hagar, I was a big fan, and when he went to Van Halen, I was pretty pumped about it and have been a Sammy Hagar fan, especially with Van Halen for a long time, although I'm a little disappointed that they are losing in my poll right now. So I guess what's that say about my listeners?
Wow, that's incredible.
But, hey, I want to thank you for joining us again. We've had a great year here on the show, coming over here to 1400 WBAT. My website, our worst day this year was better than our best day last year as far as traffic. So, thanks for all the help that you've given us.
Well, happy to be with you again.
All right, General Assembly starts next Wednesday. You getting nervous? You pretty pumped? You afraid the Democrats aren't going to show up? What's the deal?
Well, it's hard to believe. It seems like we just finished up the session that ended at the end of April and went back home to our regular lives, and here we are already at the year going back into session. next Wednesday afternoon. We start at 1:30 p.m. in the Senate, going to session. And, of course, the first couple of days there's very little to do, but things kick off very quickly from there. We have literally dozens of bills that have been scheduled to be heard and hundreds of bills that have been filed. So a lot of work to do to get ready. I'm taking off with my buddies and early tomorrow morning in my pickup truck, and we're driving to Nebraska for a annual pheasant hunting trip. And when I get back on Sunday, I'll be scrambling to get ready and head off to the state house from there.
You want to name names on who you're taking pheasant hunting in case someone shoots you, i.e. Dick Cheney?
Well, I did have a comment from a father of one of my hunting buddies who asked me not to go Dick Cheney on his son, who happens to be the county clerk in Kosciuszko County. Also taking along the Republican chairman of Whitley County, who took my place not so many months ago. And, you know, frankly, I'm more worried than what they should be worried about me. So we will go and have fun, and what a great way to get ready for the legislative session, I guess, if you will.
Well, pheasant hunting is always fun, and have fun doing that. Well, you had mentioned you have there are a couple hundred bills that have been filed for the Senate so far, some of them kind of obscure. Why don't you talk a little bit of before we get into some of the bills that may actually become law, let's talk about a few of the bills that make you just scratch your head a little bit.
Well, I don't know. You know, I've always been one of my favorite parts of the legislative process is the debate aspect of it. And, you know, I've always felt that every issue deserves its day in court or its opportunity to be debated before a committee. And, of course, you know, I think the public expects us to work on the important issues like getting our economy back on track and keeping Indiana fiscally stable. But you know, you do read stories with a half grin about some of the bills that are filed from time to time, and you know, you usually by Democrats that make us Republicans scratch our heads, but not always. There are Republicans that file bills that make you wonder what they're thinking as well, and everything. You know, there've been a lot of stories about cursive writing and requiring schools to teach cursive writing. That was an issue that came up last year, not in the legislature, but Dr. Tony Bennett, superintendent of public instruction, and who leads the Indiana Department of Education, determined that it shouldn't be a requirement anymore that cursive writing be taught. That should be voluntary by the schools. I tend to agree with that. If the school boards and local school administrations determine that that's something that should be part of their curriculum, go for it. But there has been a bill filed to make that a mandatory subject in the schools. You know, an issue that, you know, isn't so silly at all, but some people don't want to. Some people have made negative comments in the press about is the whole issue of class basketball. And having grown up in a small town, I can remember when I attended school as a youngster in the WICO school system, and I think it was back in 1989 or so, and Steve Nicodemus and the WICO Wildcats led their way to the Final Four in a true small town Hoosier type story. And those days are long gone, and there's been some bills to reinstate class basketball in one form or another, and whether or not Indiana is prepared to go back in time or not to a day of without class basketball would be a subject that might or might not be heard before committee, but that's a bill that's been filed and has been filed before. So there are a lot of issues like that will come up. Of course, as we've talked about many times on your show before, Gary, the issue that's dominating the media about this upcoming session is the so-called right to work issue and whether or not individual employees should have the freedom to determine whether or not they want to be part of and join a union, and expect that issue could you know, very well overshadow every other issue that's introduced in the session that starts next week. So we have a lot of important work to do, and I sit on the education committee. That's the committee that dominates my workload and the time that I spend at the State House. And even though we tackled a number of controversial, very high-profile issues last session, I expect there to be many more this coming session as well.
Hey, Jim, can you hold through a quick break?
You bet.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Very soon, our Indiana legislature will embark on a mission to pass right-to-work legislation. This divisive issue will paralyze our legislature and invoke more government intervention while obstructing the ability of workers to negotiate their terms of employment. Is this necessary? Because in today's challenging economy, Indiana features one of the most skilled, diverse, and nationally recognized workforces. So much so that Indiana, according to Governor Daniels, is the sixth most likely state for companies to relocate to, expand, and create new jobs. But there are Washington, D.C. lobbyists that are determined to undermine Indiana's momentum and the achievement of Hoosier workers by minimizing their potential income. Please take a moment and stand up to those who want to undermine Hoosier values and the work ethic of our blue-collar community. Let's call upon our friends in the legislature to tackle the important economic issues and that right to work is bad for Indiana. A message provided by Indiana Pipe Trades Association.
You have me, the radio guy. You have David Pennicuff, the newspaper guy from the Chronicle Tribune. Then you have Ed Breen, the newspaper guy who has become a radio guy. Throw us all into a room at the same time with three microphones, and what do you get? Well, either this or CT Talks. Join us and call us the third Friday of each month for CT Talks on 1400 WBAT. Ed Breen, David Pennicuff, and me, Tim George. On WBAT, we keep you informed.
This is Michael Reagan, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
All right, we're back here on the Gary Snyder Show on a Van Halen Bumper Music Wednesday. Schaefer's Indiana Turf, they're up in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your snow removal needs this winter, including the top-of-the-line Ariens, snow throw snow blowers. Ryan also wanted me to remind you, Gravely Hustler and Dixie Chopper mowers still in stock, price to move as the new models come in. They still carry all the top brands. And keep in mind, it doesn't matter where you bought it or what brand it is. Schaefer's Indiana Turf can and will fix it in their state-of-the-art service center. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929, and if you're doing the math, that's a really long time. Or if you're like our guest, State Senator Jim Banks, and actually doing the math, that's over 82 years of serving Fort Wayne, Marion, Huntington, and the surrounding area. Give them a call, 260-489-3391. You can visit their store at 5202 West Washington Center Road, just up the highway in Fort Wayne, and you can visit them 24/7 on the web at indianaturf.com. Remember, if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. If you can't remember any of that, just go to GarySnyderShow.com, where all of our sponsors are just a click away, plus you can leave your nominations for the Gary Snyder Show Political Winners and Losers of the Year. They're already starting to stack up. And you can vote on our online poll. Van Halen is touring in 2012 with David Lee Roth. Who is your favorite frontman for Van Halen? David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar. That's your vote. For some reason, which is beyond me. David Lee Roth is winning right now. Change that, people. All right, we're speaking with State Senator Jim Banks about a number of different issues as the General Assembly gets closer and closer. Jim, one subject that is sure to come up is, and you're actually leading the fight on this, and it's the effort to eliminate the death tax. This was mentioned in Forbes magazine. Not only your fight, but you personally. Tell us a little bit about that.
This is the second session in a row I've introduced the bill, Gary, to eliminate Indiana's inheritance tax. And, of course, was very pleased to see our efforts mentioned in Forbes magazine, who published a story online last week, and I haven't received my Forbes magazine in the mail yet to see if it made it into the print version or not, but hopefully we'll see it there too, with a title of a story of where not to die in 2012. And, of course, what was one of the states chief among them that Forbes magazine advised their readers not to die in 2012, but of course, Indiana, who has one of the worst, if not arguably the worst, inheritance tax in the entire country, which might be a surprise to your listeners, as it was a surprise to me as I became more educated about this issue. In fact, the Wall Street Journal last March or so, maybe it was in February, published a editorial on the very morning of the hearing that I had this issue before the Tax and Fiscal Committee of the Senate, and they claimed that Indiana ranks third worst in the combined state and federal inheritance taxes. What makes ours so complicated is that it kicks in at such a low amount. It's complicated because it's tiered based upon the relation of the recipient of the inheritance to the heir. So if you're a son or a daughter of someone who leaves some wealth to you, if the heir leaves the money to you as a son or daughter, you're taxed less than if I left you my wealth when I pass away, which don't count on it. And two, you wouldn't receive very much to begin with, but you would be taxed a lot more as someone that is someone that isn't related to me.
Well, let me just stop you real quick. I want to comment on that. That I'm kind of hurt. I was kind of planning my retirement around that, Jim.
Yeah, I'm giving you good advice not to count on it. The horrible part of it is that it ranges from 1% of the inheritance tax all the way up to 20%, which is an enormous amount that could be taxed of someone's estate when they pass it on. And so this is an issue that I believe kills economic opportunity in Indiana. I rank it right up there with the right to work issue, being a supporter of that issue, which I thought that was clever that you played the anti-right to work commercial right as we ended our...
Actually, I noticed that too, but that was actually a feed. I had nothing to do with that.
Very clever regardless, but I support right to work. I think that's one major issue that we could tackle to make Indiana more economically viable, but I think eliminating our inheritance tax could have just as much of an impact on creating economic opportunity, because what it does is it keeps wealth in Indiana rather than seeing it leave or flee the state of Indiana so that someone can avoid paying the inheritance tax. That's exactly why the state of Ohio just eliminated their death tax earlier this year under a new governor, John Kasich, who I think has been a guest on your show.
He has, and believe it or not, tomorrow I have former Republican presidential candidate and now Libertarian candidate Gary Johnson, so that should be interesting.
I'll try to tune in for that, although I'll be on my way to Nebraska, so it'll be likely impossible.
Well, let's move past the General Assembly here for a few minutes, if you don't mind, and look ahead to 2012. Some very interesting races coming up, not only the governor, the primary for governor in the Republican Party, but there's a very interesting race that is shaping up in District 51 between Dan Leonard and Jeff Espick. That should be very interesting, shouldn't it?
Well, it would be interesting if it actually became a race. A lot of us are sitting on the edge of our seat waiting to find out what's going on there. And, those are two stalwarts
from the Indiana General Assembly. Dan Leonard has been my state representative for a long time, and Jeff Espick, of course, being chair of the Ways and Means Committee, very powerful and influential, and a member of the legislature for, believe it or not, 40 years. You know, neither one of them have formally announced their plans to run or to step aside, and so it's not too much longer here. The filing opens up in just a couple of weeks for candidates to file for office, and 3 or 4 weeks after that is when the filing closes, and so it won't be long here before we know exactly what in the world is going on there. Of course, redistricted the two of them together. And
when you take a look at the district, you know, I'd probably rather be sitting in Dan Leonard's shoes than Jeff Espick's, because when you take a look at that district, most of the population falls within the county in which Dan Leonard lives, which is Huntington.
Yeah, that's right. You knowing better than a lot of people, having been a former opponent of Dan Leonard's, that he runs very well in Huntington County and knows a lot of people. And
he knows everyone.
He does know everyone. He's been in office since 2002. So,
and I applaud him. I ran against him. I've been pretty harsh to him at times, even when I wasn't running against him. But he is a stand-up guy, always came to the debates and always supported me in a lot of those debates that I had, and a lot of that stuff when a lot of the Republican Party in Huntington wouldn't, along with yourself. So I applaud him there, and boy, that's going to be a very interesting race.
Yeah, again, we'll see if there's actually a race there. But, of course, the governor's race will be a major contest between Mike Pence, who I support, Congressman Pence, versus likely the former Speaker of the House, John Gregg, who fancies himself as a conservative Democrat and from Southern Indiana. And then you got the Libertarian candidate with Rupert from Survivor with the tie-dye shirt. Throw that in the mix. And
you know, I've had all three of them on. I've had Rupert. I've had Jim Wallace. I've had Congressman Mike Pence. The only one I can't seem to corral is John Gregg.
Well, there you go.
Well, hey, Jim, real quick, I got to let you go. We're running out of time. Where can people find you, find out about what you're doing in the legislature?
Well, I do try to keep people posted on what in the world is going on down there on my Facebook and Twitter pages. I'm not hard to find there if you search my name. My website is www.jimbanks.us, and you can find me at the State House website as well. Thank you very much.
All right, Jim, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Goodbye.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
What matters to you matters to us. The right car or great truck with service you trust. You're treated like family in our hometown, where people come for deals from miles around.
Barry Bunker Chevrolet would like to invite you to look at the huge selection on all new and gently used vehicles on the lot. Barry Bunker Chevrolet is the home of the best service, the best selection, and you know what you're getting on the day you sign. Barry Bunker and his staff are proud to be a part of Marion, located on Wabash Avenue or southbound on Highway 15. Call 664-1275 or log on to the web at www.barrybunker.com. You can see for yourself. You will see Barry Bunker's team is ready to help you find your next vehicle. Remember Barry Bunker Chevrolet, because Chevy runs deep.
The man whose name is on.
Colonial Oaks Health and Rehab recently hit a home run. Baseball players that bat .400 are considered superstars. Professional quarterbacks that complete 60% of their passes, like Peyton Manning, are MVPs. Well, Colonial Oaks should be at the top of your list, because recently, and are very proud to announce, our 4-star quality measurement rating. So if you are looking for quality, affordable nursing care or the best in rehabilitation, call me, Lael Plank, at Colonial Oaks Health and Rehab, 674-9791. Remember, we're the all-star facility of choice.
Bringing local news to Fairmount, Upland, and all of Grant County, we are 1400 WBAT.
From the WBAT Newsroom, I'm Layla Price.
The Grant County Reentry Court will operate with less money than expected. The program, which aims to protect the public by helping integrate offenders into the community after they're released from prison, received a grant from the Criminal Justice Institute for $16,000 less than what the county had applied for. The CJI said they had less funding available, and as with any government entity, they had to tighten their belt. Anderson Mayor Chris Aukerman resigned Monday and returned to the Anderson Police Department. Aukerman said the reason for his resignation was Mayor-elect Kevin Smith had spoken to the media about possibly opposing Aukerman's return to the police department. However, Smith said Aukerman's disagreement is with the city council. He explained the council only budgeted for 116 police officers in 2012, and the addition of Aukerman made 118. Smith had expressed his concern with potentially laying off two younger police officers to reduce the force. Deputy Mayor Greg Graham will serve as acting mayor until Kevin Smith is sworn in on Sunday. Anderson City Council President Ollie Dixon said to his knowledge no sitting Anderson mayor has ever resigned before. Dixon did not say whether or not any police officers will be laid off, but said discussion of budgeting for the workforce in 2012 will be held on January 12th. Court documents reveal that accused killer Michael Plumador told the Allen County Sheriff's Department that he dismembered the body of a 9-year-old girl with a hacksaw after freely admitting that he killed the girl by hitting her in the head with a brick. Sheriff Ken Freeze says the body of Aliana Lemon has been recovered after Plumador told investigators where to look, but the sheriff would not comment on the condition of the body. Evidence technicians are quoted as saying they found what they believe to be human body parts in a freezer at Plumador's mobile home in Fort Wayne. A probable cause affidavit indicates Plumador claimed to have disposed of other body parts in a dumpster nearby. A judge has ordered Plumador be held without bond. From the WBAT Newsroom, I'm Layla Price. The 1400 WBAT forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy and breezy with a low of 28 degrees. Thursday, cloudy with a chance of rain and snow, a high of 42. Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain and snow after midnight, a low of 35. Friday, cloudy with a chance of rain and snow, a high of 45. And Saturday, partly cloudy with a high of 42. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
Hello, this is Governor Mike Huckabee, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
We're back here on the Gary Snyder Show, which, by the way, it is a Van Halen Bumper Music Wednesday. Before we get to our guest slash co-host, Tom Marquis, who co-hosts from now to the end, Freightco, a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, they are growing and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus a competitive FSE, and that's on all dispatches. Freightco drivers average 2,500-plus miles a week and are home on the weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first or just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call, 866-397-2581, or you can visit them on the web at freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. If you can't remember that, all you really need to do is go to GarySnyderShow.com. While you're there, our poll question for the rest of the week, for the rest of the year, we'll just put it that way. Van Halen is touring in 2012 with David Lee Roth as the frontman. Who is your favorite frontman for Van Halen? Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth, right now with over 30 votes. David Lee Roth is winning. Personally, I'm a Sammy Hagar fan. I voted for Sammy. So that's where we stand there. Plus, We are also taking the Gary Snyder Show Political Winners and Losers of the Year nominations. If you want to nominate your politico, a politician, someone that participates in politics, whatever the case, you can do that at Gary Snyder Show. Tom, do you have anybody to nominate there?
As far as,
I nominated myself and the show because, hey, when it comes to interviews and putting political interviews and political talk, it really doesn't get any better than us. Plus, the website has had a far-reaching grasp on the politics of Huntington County and starting a little bit here in Grant County. But me and my website have literally changed the landscape of Huntington politics.
Well, I'll give you my vote, I guess, because I know that Huntington politics plays a big major part in the big picture of politics. So
we're just taking nominations now. Are you a David Lee Roth or Sammy Hagar guy?
Oh, definitely a David Lee Roth guy. Definitely a David Lee Roth guy. First concert I ever went to was Van Halen Jump with David Lee Roth. I wasn't a big fan of David Lee Roth when he went out on his own, but, you know, he did have a couple good songs, you know, California Girls and a couple other good songs.
All right, and I don't know if you heard, but tomorrow at 3:35, we will have former Republican presidential candidate and now Libertarian presidential candidate Gary Johnson on the show.
That's huge, man. I cannot wait. Everybody knows we're going to have a Libertarian president, right?
probably not, but hey, he's a lot of fun. And you know, the Republican Party ostracized him a little bit, so I don't blame him for going that third-party route. And if he screws up the presidency for the Republicans, then so be it. Maybe they should consider letting everybody play when it comes to these debates.
Maybe they should, but I don't think everybody really wants to hear what everybody has to say.
If I have to sit there and listen to what Rick Perry and Rick Santorum and Michelle Bachmann has to say, then they can sit there and listen to what Gary Johnson has to say.
I agree. I agree with the Gary Johnson part because Libertarian is a organized and established, defined party. If he's representing their party and he's representing their party, but think about it like this. The debates that you're talking about watching are Republican debates. And that's why, you know, I'm glad you brought this up.
And he was a Republican candidate.
But he's not anymore. So why should he be in a Republican debate? Makes no sense.
Well, he should have been when there were Republican debates.
And here's the other interesting poll that I saw that only is talking about Ron Paul and his popularity in Iowa. Only 50% of people that call themselves real Republican would vote for Ron Paul in Iowa. That tells me that the other half of the people really aren't real Republicans. And you have to be a registered Republican to even participate in the caucus. So I'm curious as to see what that other 50% of the field is that really surmounts to nothing. Because if you don't win Iowa as a Republican from the Republican voters who are true Republican voters, when you get when and if you ever get the nomination, you're not ever going to get the nomination because real Republican voters are the ones who make the nomination.
Well, hey Tom, I'm going to get this interview with Governor Ventura playing. Chime in. You're in this interview. Here's my interview with Governor Jesse Ventura. He is the former governor of Minnesota and author of American Conspiracies and 63 Documents the Government Does Not Want You to Read. How the book sales going and how are they being received?
Oh, they're going terrific. We're very happy with, you know, the sales that went on. You know, Skyhorse is not a major Simon & Schuster or anything, but they both are New York Times bestsellers, and, you know, I just felt it was another chance to get out, too, because I wanted to talk about what happened with my court case with the TSA. Things people need to know about their country as a result of that court case, that when you go to any airport in the United States of America, you must understand you're not protected by the Constitution or the Bill of Rights.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the your court case against the TSA, and you know what's really going on with the TSA.
Well, you know, they're expanding. Word has it they're going to be in train stations soon, bus stations, and it was made known to me that Tennessee is the first state that's okayed what they call TSA Viper teams, where they're going to be at the old way stations, and I guess they're going to be out there searching and hunting for terrorists. And you have to remember the TSA is immune from the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, because I found that out when I tried to go to court, and the federal judge threw the case and stated that she didn't have jurisdiction, which is confusing to me, because how can a federal judge not have jurisdiction over a constitutional question?
All right, also with us is co-host of the show, Tom Marquis. Tom, do you have a question for the governor?
Governor, it is great to have you along with us. And I tell you what, I'm a big conspiracy theory type of guy myself, and I know there's a lot of, they call them theories, but that doesn't mean that they're not fact. And
well, first of all, let me interject. There's not a bad connotation to conspiracy theory. Let me put it in this context for you. Gravity is likewise a theory, the theory of gravity.
True.
And I challenge anyone to go up on a building and step off and find out if it's real. So when you use the term theory or conspiracy theory, there should not be bad connotations to that. I look at that, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a seeker of the truth. And I'm willing to admit, you know, on my TV show this year, we're chasing down some theories that in the end I don't necessarily believe. And we'll show that on the show. Likewise, there's enough evidence that make them intriguing to chase them down for one reason or another. But many, many of them, there's far more evidence indicating the, quote, conspiracy theory is real than in the case of the government explanation. I mean, what more do you need on JFK? Last year on my show, we had a full confession by E. Howard Hunt to his son, St. John Hunt, on his deathbed. Well, that follows up a trial that took place in Florida in the 1980s that Mark Lane wrote about in his great book, Plausible Denial, where a paper was found not guilty when they accused Hunt of being part of it, and Hunt sued them. And the preponderance of evidence indicated the paper was correct. Hunt was involved. Now you have Hunt's own confession. The fact that the preponderance of evidence in this case indicated that Hunt was involved, and yet mainstream media won't say a word about any of it.
Now, Governor, my question would be, there's a lot of documents out there, and I'm glad you brought up JFK because that's one of the most popular ones. But some of the documents that the government does not want us to read, it talks about the CIA's guide to assassination that you talk about, Operation Northwoods, and some things to do with Afghanistan. Can you kind of talk to us about some of those other documents that may not be as well known as JFK?
Well, there's so many in the book, 63. I mean, we held off on 63. We could have put 263. We had to pare it down and pick out the ones we wanted. And rather than addressing them individually, I'd rather address them philosophically and state, when you read about these, and you mentioned a few of the documents in there that are very, very disturbing, when you read, I mean, medical experimenting on our military and things of that nature, when you read about things and the behavior that our government and the way they've been behaving, is it any wonder why the rest of the world fears us? And should it be that way? Weren't we supposed to be the country that everyone excelled to be, and that's why people wanted to immigrate here? Because they wanted the chance, the American dream? And when you read about our country and its behavior of our government, it's scary and pathetic and very disturbing. I said after my court case, they've gutted my patriotism. I don't have any anymore.
Well, Governor, let me ask you about one thing that is quite upsetting to a lot of people, and that's Senate Bill 1867 and the ramifications of that if passed. And why is no one talking about it except the only, I guess, person or presidential candidate I hear out there speaking about it is Ron Paul?
Exactly. I had to go do an interview with Al Jazeera today, and it, believe me, their news is better than ours. It's embarrassing. And while I was there, I walked into the CBS affiliate, WCCO in Minneapolis, and I walked up to one of the reporters and I said, you know, why aren't you people reporting on that very issue, Bill 1867, which is McCain and Levin who want to declare the United States a battlefield so that they can open the door to have the U.S. military operate inside the U.S. in the war on terror. Now, first, let me say this. In my book, 63 Documents, I print the RAND report, who normally our government looks at that like the Bible or the Koran, and they follow it to a T. The RAND report did a total study on fighting terrorism and found out the success rate of fighting terrorism with the military is only 7% of the pie. So we're putting all our eggs in the basket of the military, who the RAND Corporation in their study said will only have a 7% success rate. Far better success rate in the intelligence, 40%, I believe, something like that, and in good, solid police work, 40%. So obviously there's another agenda here, it seems to me. And this ties in with everything else. They're turning this loose on the American people, in my opinion, to batten us down and virtually get us in position to be declared martial law. My show last year that got pulled, Are We Going Into a Police State? We found the Homeland Security bill that ordered 6 internment camps to be built by FEMA. Well, is this what it's for? So that the U.S. military, and I urge anybody out there listening that's a veteran on active duty or not, remember, you took an oath to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights from both foes domestic and foreign, foreign and domestic. So I ask all military people, read the oath you took before you carry out orders against the American people.
Now, obviously, you're no stranger to what you believe in and the active role that you play in exposing a lot of things. And your book, Don't Start the Revolution Without Me, and now this book that you've recently written, really exciting reading material, especially for somebody like me that enjoys reading this stuff. But what do you say to your critics that might say, oh, this is just somebody who is just trying to bring attention to himself and is just trying to bring a bad name on the government?
Well, I guess I defer to Tom Jefferson, who said dissension's the greatest form of patriotism. I guess I defer to John Adams, who said that the death of America will be in the when political parties take over the government. I guess I defer to my forefathers and say, they wrote this Constitution and Bill of Rights, and they had a reason for doing it in trying to create this great country. And that I think without, you can't just follow the Constitution and the Bill of Rights when it's convenient. You also, it has to stand for something. You have to follow it also when it's inconvenient. And why would I do this? To bring publicity to myself. I have enough. You know, there's no point in that. Why would I take on something and possibly expose myself to, for lack of a better term, idiots out there that think that I'm not doing this for, you know, I come from a family where every member of my immediate family served in a time of war. So nobody can question my love of my country or my family. And I believe that love of country also means exposing and attempting to right wrongs, even when it's your country that does it.
Well, Governor, let me ask you this. We're in the middle of a presidential campaign, and the Republicans are kind of bantering back and forth on which candidate they want. Is there a candidate out there that maybe you could get behind, and it doesn't have to be Democrat or Republican. And let me follow up just off the bat here by saying a lot of my wife's Ron Paul followers tend to like you and think you would be a good vice presidential candidate for Ron Paul.
Well, you know, Ron Paul's the only one in the current field that I would even do that for, but in order for my support, he's got to leave that party, because I will not support and do not support Democrats or Republicans in any way, shape, or manner. They've been in charge of this country for well over 100 years. We're in a huge mess, and it's completely their fault. And they can't run from that. How can you when you're supposedly in charge? The buck stopped with them, the Democrats and Republicans. So the only way I would consider anything with Congressman Paul, although, like I said, I told Good Morning America, if he quits the Republican Party and would run independently somehow, I would give serious consideration to running with him. The other candidate is another black sheep out there from the Republicans, and that's Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico, a terrifically intelligent man, fully capable of being the president of this country, and another person I would give serious consideration to, as I hear the libertarians are right now.
Now, Governor, I love these stories, and I'm looking at some of these documents, and one stood out. I mean, one I hadn't even heard about, and that's Obama's State Department calls for our own diplomats to spy on the United Nations. Where do you get this stuff at?
It's out in the public domain. We didn't steal nothing. This ain't WikiLeaks. You just got to know where to find it. Let me give kudos to my co-writer, Dick Russell. That's Dick. This guy is... He's like a honey badger when it comes to finding stuff on the internet, wherever it leads him. He's a phenomenal investigative writer, and I give him full credit. Dick finds it, I read it.
All right, Governor. You've been out of politics a while. You've been mentioned, like you said, as a vice presidential candidate for a couple of candidates running. What is your subscription to fix this country? And I know I'm going to ask you to do it in a couple minutes or so, but try your best for me.
Well, first of all, who says vice presidential? I hear more about be the president, Jesse Ventura, than I ever hear on the streets be the vice president.
Well, and I apologize because I'm listening to my wife's Ron Paul crowd.
I know, and I'm having fun with you. We got to laugh a little. What would I do to help the country? Well, the first thing I would do is I would cut the defense budget. It's so large, it's obscene. The war on terror is not the level of which it's portrayed to us, in my opinion. And it can be handled much easier without all this expense. I would close all the foreign bases. We occupy something like 178 countries throughout the world with our military presence. What for? Why? The technology today, you do not have to have military presence in other countries everywhere you go. And quite frankly, it shows you're an empire. We shouldn't be the United States of American Empire. The sun should set on the United States Empire, using that quote. And so I would quote and bring our young men and women home and let them serve their country. I would immediately shut down these wars. Enough of that. Our economy, with all the money we've spent on these wars to allow Halliburton to get filthy rich, could have gone for restructuring, working on highways, whatever. Our infrastructure here in America is sorely needed. I drive to Mexico each year, there and back. And I'm telling you, our highways up here aren't looking much better than the Mexican ones. And that ain't something you want to brag about.
Now, one of the things I want to really pull out, because I know Gary used to be an anti-money laundering officer, one of the documents that the government doesn't want us to read is the role of insider stock trading in advance of 9/11. Can you explain that document?
Well, what it is, it is what it is. There were people that knew about 9/11 beforehand and knew that certain stocks were going to take it in the shorts, so they sold them off quick and made the most money, things of that nature. And our government never bothered to follow up, because when it led to a person, their response was, well, that person's not a terrorist, and they shut it down. So nobody followed the clues on the stock market that there was insider trading going on in pretty vast amounts. In fact, there's a story that apparently there's multi-millions of dollars out there waiting to be collected, and because it came to light, no one's come forward to get it.
Governor, I know we have to wrap things up with you here, and it's always a great time speaking with you. Real quick, is there anything you wanted to cover that we did not ask you?
No, not too much. Just that I'd like to make an impassioned plea to people to please, you know, again, our Bill of Rights is destroyed right now. Our government doesn't care, and our judicial department, the Department of Justice, won't defend on it. They won't let it go to court. And when that happens, essentially you have no Bill of Rights. And what is our country if we don't have a Bill of Rights to protect our citizens from our government? Because our forefathers knew –